Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful fall morning, November 11th, 2024. I hope the beginning of this week finds you doing well. I want you to know that everything is good in the neighborhood. I think it is going to be a blessed day and a great week. Very excited about the things that God is doing, not just here at the church, but elsewhere. Definitely in our nation. I know that you are probably very thankful as you wake up today to a brand new week that we have a new president coming into the White House soon. And I believe everything is going to be okay. Bible colleges and seminaries are very interesting. You know, they produce ministers, they produce preachers, they produce practitioners of the faith, if you will. And, you know, they seem to be just a great and desirable place. I've been to a few, and I can tell you that they are very beautiful. The buildings are wonderful. Their libraries are typically top-notch and very beautiful and stacked with great tomes of information to help Bible college students and seminarians do their utmost for His highest in studying and learning how to minister and learning how to deal with different people groups, all those wonderful things. But unless you have been a student there and faced some of these challenges that Bible college and seminaries can produce, they can also be some of the darkest places on the earth. And I think it's because the devil works really hard in those places. Think about it. You have men and women preparing for different ministry roles in those Bible colleges and seminaries, some as missionaries, some men as pastors, some men and women as professors, so forth. And so they do this so that they can go out into the world wherever God calls them and serve Christ. And it's also so that they can use this education, no matter what level it's at, to help the church grow. Now, I'm not knocking the Bible education system. I'm very grateful for the opportunities that God has given me. I mean, I barely made it through high school, and I'm very grateful for what God has allowed me to face, but it has not been given to me, and I've had to work very, very hard, long, long hours to accomplish where I'm at. I'm very grateful to God for that, but I can say through firsthand experience, some of the darkest times have been in Bible college and in seminary. I mean, during my undergrad years, I can remember specifically of a classmate that I knew, and this guy had a lot of anger in him, and he ended up dropping out and didn't finish his degree. And he told me something once that I'll never forget, and it regarded another classmate of ours. He said, "You know, Frank, I talked to my pastor about this situation. And he told me, he said, 'James, sometimes you have to love them from a distance.'" And, you know, it made sense to me at the time. And so, you know, I went on from there and I did my thing and, you know, finished and all that and then left. And years later, I kind of confronted that statement head on because, you know, it had stuck in my mind. And I found that it actually didn't work. You know, Christ calls us to love others intentionally, but He also calls us to love others impactfully. Don't get me wrong, there's some that come into the church that stir up dissension and they do some very diabolical things. And there's times where we just have to really give them over to the Lord. You know, and it might be that that's what that pastor meant, you know, by what he said. But, you know, I think of what Christ does actually say here and what God does say in His Word. And I think of verses like John 13:34. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Who's He talking to? Well, Jesus is talking to His disciples. And He's telling them, love each other. You know, you're going to need each other. And by loving each other, you're going to show the world that my love is genuine, that my love is powerful, and that it's widespread, and that it goes out just in the nick of time, when people seem to need it the most, and it spreads out and originates from the body here. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And then I like this one too in 1 Peter 4:8. He says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. By the way, these churches apply to the church, to fellow Christians. You know, we sometimes try so hard to love this world, and it just seems to get back in our face, blows up in our face. But I have to tell you, friends, it's got to start with the church. I mean, if we are not loving one another as Christ wants us to, then how in the world are we going to be of any impact and effect when we are trying to spread the gospel and minister to a fallen world? It's got to be grounded and rooted in us before it can be spread out to the rest of the world. Why am I bringing up the subject? You're probably thinking that today. You know, I'm not one of these mushy men. I'm not one of these, you know, sentimental Hallmark people. I just, you know, that's just not my thing. But I do believe that God wants us to love each other the way He wants us to do it. And I think sometimes we tend to over-sentimentalize Christ's love. I think we make it to be where it's almost weak. I want to tell you something today and set the record straight. God's love from Christians is anything but weak. You don't know how strong the wind is until you stand up through it and against it. Some of the toughest people I know don't react with fists. They don't react with words. They don't fly off the handle and tell somebody like it is. They stand up with thick skin and they weather the storm because Christ has called them to do it. That is what I think is real biblical love. It's not weak. It's not having laces in our Levi's as men. It's being tough. It's standing. It's weathering the storm and knowing that God's going to see you through it. I think that is what real impactful and biblical love is. But I'm bringing up this subject today because of the recent church atmosphere. Oh my goodness. The atmosphere lately has been really, honestly, it's been sweet. And it's been refreshing. The fellowship lately has been so welcoming. It's been so embracing. The music has been so impactful. It's been inspirational. It's been excellent. It's been great to be at Packlet Mills Baptist Church. And I'm bringing up this subject specifically because I know, well, at least I think I do, why everything has been so good lately. Because those with the loudest complaints are being drowned out. The complainers are being silenced or they're going home. Because the people who support progress and change in this church are speaking loudly. And they're saying, we are going with leadership and we are going with God. Because the Lord is moving freely and He's moving fervently throughout this church. Now don't get me wrong, the devil has tried to work several times over the past week. I can think very specifically over a few ways. But what he's tried to do is he's tried to divide and conquer. He's tried to use people who are on the fringe to separate those who are on the inside, fighting the battles together. And we do that in Baptist churches. We let those fringe members who hardly ever come, who ever darken the church door, to have a voice in the church. And I think that's just wrong. I think those that are inside fighting the battles of the faith, trying to help others, encourage them by the word, trying to lead them on to victory, trying to create new ministry opportunities, doing ministry themselves. I think those are the voices that matter the most. But yet we do this in Baptist churches over and over and over again. We say just because your name is on the membership roll, though you hadn't been here in 6 months, you get a voice. Now, I don't think that's right. There's a reason why they're not coming. And a lot of times those people are the ones that spread dissension and discord. I'm just being honest. You can get mad all you want, but I'm telling you, I've seen it in churches, and it happens. It happens very, very often. I talk to a lot of pastors and director of missions, and they will say the exact same thing. I'm just not afraid to say it. And I will say it. But the devil has been trying to work on people. He's tried to spread misinformation by promoting misunderstanding. And he has been trying to do that. But you know what? That is getting silenced. And I'm finding that where the devil tries to work, God gets the last word. And I'm going to tell you today, God is going to get the last word, not just in Packley Mills Baptist Church, but in every other church that's doing the will of God, that's seeking to glorify His name, and that's wanting to promote Jesus as Lord. I just want to say this one line to you today. I like to do these one-liners because I feel like they can bless people, because they bless me, you know. Here it is. When the Lord moves, so does the devil. The church must not only celebrate, but be vigilant as well. So I said these things last night in our service, you know, and it was on keeping our fellowship sweet. And I want to kind of bring these to your attention if you weren't here or if you just forgot them. Make fellowship a priority, number one. Number two, don't worry about meeting an agenda. Just fellowship. Let it be sweet. Thirdly, create intimacy by being authentic. Be yourself. Don't be some pretentious person. If you're in a bad mood, bring that bad mood here. God will deal with it. But it helps others to know that we are all real. Fourthly, practice patience and embrace others. And here's one that I think is so important. Decide, lastly, to be a blessing. You've got to make that decision to be a blessing. Let me leave you with one last thought here. There are two types of Christians, I believe. First, those who are entitled and think God has only saved them and only cares about their spiritual growth, and if they're happy and being fed at church. And then secondly, those who are emptied and allow God to use them. I'm not saying that they're poor, that they can't meet their bills and all that. I'm saying that they realize they can really bring nothing to the table spiritually. They have to depend on Christ at every turn and corner in their life. So they empty themselves and they say, God, move and use me and work in me and through me the way you want me to. And use me however it is, even if it is an inconvenience. And they live that way. And I just want to ask you, which one do you believe God wants you to be? I hope that this podcast blesses you today. Be sure to tune in every week. I try to get them out on Mondays or Tuesdays. I don't plan what I'm going to say. It's just what God lays on my heart. And I think that we can have the best fellowship when we realize that at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's always about Christ. And really, it's about how we relate to others who He puts in and among us and around us. Be blessed today because you are loved and highly favored. Amen.